Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bring you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and right now we're hoping they're going to be the views of David Tadashini, talking about a book that was written almost half a century ago, entitled The Plot to Seize the White House. Well, we may not have a guest, so just in case, I'm going to give out our 800 number. It's 1-800-1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you'd like to give us a call, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Why, we'll just figure we're going to do open lines if we don't have David with us. So give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you have something that you would like to talk about. Otherwise, we could talk about very briefly about the plot to seize the White House. And, of course, many years ago, everybody knew about this. Unfortunately, that is not true today. And because so much of history has simply been altered through the years. And, of course, the original Senate hearings which were held back in the 1930s about this plot to seize the White House by a group of very powerful bankers and then fascists who, of course, one of them was Thomas Lamont of J.P. Morgan Company and the other people affiliated with him who wanted to establish a dictatorship in America. And, of course, they approached Major General Smedley Butler. Well, Smedley Butler was certainly the most decorated a hero we had at that time. He was a Marine general, and he'd fought in the Boxer Rebellion. He'd fought in South America. He fought in the First World War. He had two Congressional Medals of Honor. Nobody else, to my knowledge, has ever paralleled Major General Smedley Butler. But when he was approached to lead a coup, in all intents and purposes, a coup to overthrow the government, he initially pretended to go along with it because he wanted to collect information and eventually was able to get the information and was able to bring it forward. And, of course, the last thing that the people who controlled America wanted at that time was for the public to know that Thomas Lamont of J.P. Morgan and Company, who was one of the founding members of the Council on Foreign Relations and part of this cabal that ruled our country at that time, was involved in a plot to seize the White House. And so the Senate hearings went absolutely no place, and the whole story was forgotten. Well, Julius Archer wrote the book many years ago on the plot to seize the White House, and you just... Well, the books all disappear. Now, it has been reprinted. Actually, I think there are two reprintings of the book. And, in fact, I understand that Mr. Jules Archer is alive and well at 95 years of age and living not too far from where we are. And I'm hoping to have him on the program where we can talk about the plot to seize the White House. And it was very real. How would you block something like that out from our history books? Why, very simply, we have freedom of the press in the United States, which means if you own the press, you have the freedom to delete whatever you want to, and that is what's happened with this amazing story. Well, our telephone number I'm not going to give out again because I see it looks like we have David on the line. Hi, David. How are you doing tonight?
How are you doing, Dr. Stan?
I'm doing just great. Well, I'm glad we got hold of you. We've sort of give the background of this book, the plot to seize the White House, and the part that Major General Smedley Butler played. A truly a great patriot, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was a very highly decorated Marine general, and he single-handedly, almost single-handedly, foiled a plot, a corporate plot, to seize the control of the White House and turn our government into a fascist dictatorship.
And, of course, right now, of course, you find that a couple of our bankers, for instance, the Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, effectively control our government, fund our politicians, and nothing's changed. It's simply the names have changed, but the characters are still there. Well, David, how is it that you happened to get this book published?
Well, I came across the book from a mutual friend of ours, Art Berklow, who had an original copy of the book and was copying. He had it sent to Staples and copied on 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper and bound together with a spiral binding, and he was giving them away because he thought the information was important for people to know. I subsequently learned that the book was published in 1973, and it was taken off the bookshelves by the U.S. government. They went around to all the bookstores. They seized the remaining copies at the publisher. They brought them all here to New York. They put them in a big bonfire, and they burned them all up. You never heard of this book, or you never heard of the plot to seize the White House in our history books, because the information has been actively suppressed by our own government. And this is nothing new. It's almost like Lindsay Williams' book, the oil non-crisis, the energy non-crisis, that they threatened him that if he published the book that something was going to happen to him or his family. This is a routine thing that happens every day in America in this so-called free society that I've felt that I had a moral obligation to undo or do my part in my small part in undoing. So what I did was I purchased an original copy and I reproduced it with a different cover because it's out of print, it's out of copyright, the author is deceased. And the information that's contained in the book is essential for every American to know. And it's essential for every American to know because usually when you tell someone something like the government is trying to record all your telephone conversations and corporate America is really in control of the government and you're pulling the lever in the voting booth, does a little bit more than flushing your toilet, they laugh at you and they call you a conspiracy nut and they kind of walk away laughing. Well, this book establishes a precedent that this type of thing has been attempted before. And if it has been attempted before, who is to say that it hasn't been attempted again and possibly succeeded? And the people who you're voting for, whether they be Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Communists, Socialists, whatever they are, whoever gets in that office is under control of corporate America. And if they don't do what the corporate people tell him to do, he ends up like President Kennedy with a bullet in the back of his head.
Or like, of course, like Bobby Kennedy, or like Martin Luther King, or like so many of the other people, like Larry McDonald. He didn't end up with a bullet in the back of his head. Might have been better off if he had, rather than languishing in a communist prison. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is David Tartasini. We're talking about the book, The Plot to See the White House, Seize the White House. According to David, it was written in the 1970s. And, of course, it was written by a man named Jules Archer, who, incidentally, is alive and well at 95 years of age, David. He's living here in Scotts Valley, and I'll be talking to him tomorrow. And he's in the process...
Oh, I thought he was dead.
I know. I think I thought he was dead as well. But he's 95 years old, and apparently his mind is very, very sharp. So we'll be doing an interview with him, and he still thinks that this is a very, very important book, as do I. Now, for our listeners out there, this is the story of the plot to seize the White House by a group of very powerful and wealthy people headed by Thomas Lamont of J.P. Morgan Banking Corporation, and of course other people were involved as well, but Thomas Lamont was the major character. What the book really consists of in large part is the actual story as told by Major General Smedley Butler and the actual replication of the hearings that were held at that time, the Senate hearings. I thought that was really fascinating what Major General Smedley Butler actually said, and then what, of course, the various senators, and of course, they wanted to cover this thing up. They did not want the American people to know about it, but at least the complete text of those hearings is reproduced in large part, isn't it? David?
Right. Yeah, it's the complete the text of the hearings is reproduced in Jules Archer's book, and in order to bring it into perspective with what's happening today, I added a foreword to the book that kind of explains how I came across it, and basically, the last part of it says that this part of the site deals with a suppressed book, The Plot to Seize the White House. The book is no longer in print, and the copyright has expired under the old copyright law. And this book exposes one attempt in detail and illustrates to the reader something that perhaps is out of the realm of things one thinks about when pondering our constitutional republic. But the possibility that a silent coup d'etat in our own government happened exists nonetheless. There's an overwhelming collection of evidence to suggest that what we should fear the most is not being revealed to us by the mainstream media, and indeed that the mainstream media is merely an extension of the forthcoming techno-Nazi dictatorship that is still, as of this writing, in its infancy and cutting its teeth, so to speak, on the false flag operation terrorist attacks of 9/11. And the sad part is the American people, not knowing their history, are letting them get away with it all over again. I republished this book because this is very important, because it sets the stage for what is happening today. In fact, it goes back and it says, you know, they've been trying to do this for a very, very long time. And the Americans don't believe, you know, some people, I've talked to somebody yesterday that said, I don't believe that they're recording all the phone conversations and all the radio programs. How could they keep this, all these recordings, and go through them manually, you know, to see who's doing what? Well, the technology that we have, Dr. Stan, is 20 years behind the times of what the government has available. I have I can hold in my hand a 3.5-inch format disc hard drive that holds 1,500 full-length movies.
Well, now, Chris, I think we have to know that anybody who doubts what's really going on really has to go to the Internet and look up Project Echelon. Project Echelon is a national security agency program. It dates back to really shortly after the Second World War, when they started listening to all the telephone conversations in the United States by computer. Of course, the technology has improved tremendously, and the computer listens to all those programs. Now, actually, it's not an American computer. It's a British computer in the United States and an American computer in Great Britain, because, after all, they wouldn't want to violate the law, would they? So they let the British listen to our telephone conversations, but we listen to telephone conversations literally throughout the world. In every country, we have means of getting in there. It's Project Echelon. You can look it up on the Internet. Echelon, look it up, understand. It's been going on, and how could that be going on and no one would know about it? Why, very, very simply, we have freedom of the press in America. If you own the press, you have the freedom to censor anything you want to, and that's exactly what's going on today. So, David, I'm glad you're trying to get people, but give them a source of reference. Tell them about Project Echelon, and explain to them that the fact that they haven't heard of it simply is a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. And certainly it's covered in Wikipedia, on the Internet. The information is there. We just need to challenge people to find it.
Well, in order to be credible, Dr. Stan, let me give you a little background.
All right, go ahead.
In the military, I was a cryptographic systems specialist. We dealt with intelligence and cryptographic codes and computer equipment. And I've been doing this for 45 years, since 1969. I was on the Internet before it was even called the Internet. And I know for a fact that the disk drives today, they're 6 foot in diameter, and there's hundreds of them in banks that the government has in Iron Mountain and all over the place. If a 3.5-inch disk can hold a 1,000,000,000,000,000,000 bytes of information, or what's called a tera in a 3.5-inch form factor, do the math. Do pi squared r thing and figure out 1,500 movies on a 500-gigabyte drive. You can hold every conversation that's held over any phone carrier in America 100 times with just 5 of these disk drives. So, and nobody's listening. It's the software that picks out the phrases and the language, and it's all voice recognition. And it's come to the point where you can go and buy a program called Dragon Naturally Speaking, take it out of the box, install it on your computer, and talk into a microphone. And it will accurately transcribe 98% of what you say. So that's just the technology that we have. Now, the government has the technology 20 times that. They're 20 years ahead of us. We get their hand-me-downs. This is no joke. And they're listening and they're watching, and you know, the technology is advancing to the point where if you say something, if you get on the wrong side of the government, they're going to come knocking on your door.
And of course, you have to understand that they read your emails, all of them. They read your faxes, all of them. And of course, the people of Europe know this. I mean, everybody's furious about this, and the corporations over there are furious because, they resent the fact that we said the incompetitive bids. We know what their bid's going to be. But, of course, so our corporations can underbid. This is the way the game is played. In fact, there was at one time an editorial. It was published in the editorial pages of the Wall Street Journal. And it was by, I think it was James Woolsey, former director of the CIA. And the headline of that article was, "Of course we're listening to your conversations." Of course we're listening to your conversations, talking about the attitude of the Europeans, but of course assuring them that we would never use that information to help our corporations out to theirs. Why, we would never do anything like that. We just want to make sure that they weren't doing anything dishonest. We're listening to the business conversations all throughout the world and the political conversations. And, of course, when they tell you, gee, we have no idea what's happening in other countries, they're simply not being objective or honest. The National Security Agency has far more people than the Central Intelligence Agency, and a lot of people have never even heard of it. Far more powerful and influential.
And that's right, Dr. Stan. Now, there are, I guarantee you, there are half a dozen, maybe a dozen people listening to this program right now and say, you know what, from now on, I'm going to encrypt all my emails. Guess what? When you do that, you might as well paint a red target on your back, because as soon as an encryption comes over the internet, the government has backdoor passwords to all of your encryptions. If you encrypt something over the internet and send it over by the email, it gets red flagged right away, just like lying on your IRS tax return. It gets red flagged immediately.
And of course,
and it can be decrypted just as easily as anything. It's just as easy as opening an email to them. They have Cray XMP 120s, 20 of them push pull parallel. They can do 10 billion trillion calculations a second. They'll break any code. Trust me, they will break. What I did in this service, we break any code.
Well, let's get back, of course, to Jules Archer, the plot to seize the White House. And, of course, the beauty of this book is you'll actually see the Senate hearings. You can read them. Of course, at the time, why, they were pretty well blocked out by the controlled media, because even at that time, there was a tremendous control over the media. More information got out at that time than today. But even at that time, where it was largely controlled, now it's almost totally controlled, so that you're not going to see things like this happen. And I'd never heard the story. Of course, I'm going around and pulling the book off the bookshelves. I do know that's what they did with Monica Jensen Stevens' book, which I was quite close to, her book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye. And Monica had been a producer for 60 Minutes when she wrote about what had happened in the boys we abandoned in Vietnam and in Laos. But, of course, it went into the CIA and drugs, too, because that's what the book was all about. And one reason, of course, we didn't try to get the boys back. And anyway, of course, I remember seeing the book on a shelf at a bookstore, went down a week later, asked about it, and the man there told me, well, they'd recalled the book, and he had to send the book back that he had. So America, of course, they've done this over and over again. There was a book called America, A-M-E-R-I-K-A. And it was actually about, it was the story of a docudrama we had on television, and those were actually pulled off the shelves. This is what they do if there's a book out there that's telling you the truth, and you say, my country wouldn't do that, and you're absolutely right, your country wouldn't, but our country has been taken over by evil people who would. And, of course, there is a secret government in the United States that works within our intelligence agencies, that certainly works within our media, that works within our government, works within our universities, our great tax-exempt foundations, and they have a different worldview, and they are quite willing to do anything because they have an objective, and they want, of course, to destroy the sovereignty of the United States, to transfer our wealth to other countries, to impoverish our people, and to create a new world order and a new world religion. This is what's really going on today. We do hope, if you're out there in the listening audience, because you want to get the copy of the book, which we do carry, The Plot to Seize the White House. And then, of course, we hope you'll give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment about about this idea of the plot to seize the White House. Well, David, you go back and you pick up the story there.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, just to touch on the thing you were talking about, censorship in the media. Just recently, they had the Vincent Bugliosi speech before the Senate subcommittee, charging Bush with the Bush administration with murder because of the Iraq War, and that was posted up on YouTube. And 10 minutes later, YouTube pulled it off. And then 15 minutes later, after that, somebody posted it on YouTube again under another name. And this has been going on now for the last week and a half. So as soon as it goes up, they take it off, and then somebody else puts it on, and then they take it off. So they're like, they find it and they take it off. But enough people have copies of it that they'll never get it off. They'll just waste waste their time. They'll just keep putting it under different URLs until YouTube gets tired of pulling it off. And that's what they're doing with a lot of stuff. And that's what I'm doing with this book. It's on so many publishing venues right now that it is impossible to seize and control every single copy, because too many people have copies of it. 1,800 people since our last program on the 30th have visited the website, and possibly, I don't know if they read the book or not, but I have 1,800 hits since our last program. So people are waking up and they're looking and seeing what the government's doing. They're reading the book, whether it's reading it online or getting copies of it through the other various publishing venues. And they have copies of it on their computers. They have copies that they're spreading around. And that's good, because this is not a money-making venture. I didn't do this for the money. I did this to educate the American people about what their government is doing, and to say, hey, America, wake up. It's time to do something. It's time to get out from the back of your computer monitor and go go down to Washington and protest.
Well, I think the most important thing we can do is get enough people to understand what is really going on, and that there really are people out there who have a different worldview, who want to destroy our freedom, and of course they, unfortunately, are in positions of control in Washington, D.C. today. And of course, we would call them neocons, but of course the neocons are not the only organization. Most of them come from the Council on Foreign Relations, and of course they interlock with this power structure that provides the Secretary of State and the director of the Central Intelligence Agency and the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. They do it whether the Democrats or Republicans are in power in Washington, D.C., because, of course, we have one political party. We call them the Republicrats. They control both political parties. They're running John McCain. They're running Osama. I should say Obama, not Osama. Or maybe the terms are interchangeable. I'm not certain. But certainly they're running Mr. Obama for the presidency, as well as they're running John McCain. And it's about time people understood that. And let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Ray, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do have a question for Dave. I understood from my reading that Charles Lindbergh was a Nazi sympathizer. More than that, he was actually a friend of Hermann Göring and Hitler. I wondered, how...
Well, but is that really true, Ray, or is that what they did to discredit him because he opposed the Federal Reserve Board?
Is that true, or is that just a...
What are your thoughts? David, I really don't know anything about it. Other than the fact, I've always thought that Lindbergh was a great hero. This is, of course, the Lindbergh's father, the pilot, but... This is the congressman. Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Ray is calling from Santa Cruz, and he certainly felt that Lindbergh, and of course, you're speaking now of Charles Lindbergh, the son rather than the father.
Well, I'm not sure.
Probably was the son, because the son opposed the war.
And he
opposed the war. I mean, he didn't think we ought to go to war with the Nazis. Well, after all, Adolf Hitler was being financed by our major corporations. Adolf Hitler was being funded by our major corporation. They were giving the material for his war material both before and during the Second World War while they were killing our boys. And, of course, Lindbergh had gone over to Germany and looked around and said, we should not go to war with Germany. And he was absolutely right. But because they wanted this long and bloody war, which they dragged out so that the maximum number of people would die and the maximum amount of suffering, so that we would go into the world government. Charles Lindbergh, I don't know if you ever read, but he actually joined the Air Force, and of course they wouldn't let him actually join FDR, hated him because he opposed going to the war. And so Lindbergh, though, was allowed to go to the South Pacific by the military, working against government FDR's orders. And he came up with some ideas on flying those military planes that actually allowed them to lean out the fuel and to fly much longer periods. He was a great
patriot. I got my wires crossed. I'm sorry, I got my wires crossed, but I did hear something the other night that was very, very intriguing from Vincent Bugliosi, the
right.
man who wrote Helter Skelter, and he was talking about the fact that actually Bush is actually guilty of murder,
right?
And that they can't do anything because you know legally there's some kind of a legal law that forbids you to, you know, to be able to indict the president.
But you can impeach him. You cannot indict him, but you can impeach him and put him out of office. And once he's out of office, then of course he becomes open to indictment.
Yeah.
That law is called qualified immunity, by the way.
Is that what it's called?
Judges and prosecutors are also covered by that law, but. Under the law, as I understand it, and I was taught by the very best, I was taught what I know about the law by Jerry DeJew up in Wendy Correctional Facility. So, from what I understand about that law is that if the behavior or the crime was egregious very bad, that, you know, in other words, a gross misconduct. You can breach that law. You can pierce that veil. And you can actually go after a prosecutor and charge him, or go after a judge and charge him, or go after the president and charge him.
I don't know.
No one is supposed to be above the law.
Well, let me point out that the Congress about 2 weeks ago actually voted for a resolution for the impeachment of the President of the United States. Totally blacked out by the media. The hearings actually started because you have to have congressional hearings. And so they've had the hearings. Totally blacked out by the media. Anybody could check this out. Go up on the internet. The House resolution, I don't have the number, but just simply the resolution for the impeachment of President Bush. It's up there. Dennis Kucinich got this through.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the vote was something like 180 or 186 to 230, somewhere in that realm. And,
yes.
And so, but totally blacked out by the media. So we don't have freedom of the press in America.
Don't.
We have censorship of the press by the press.
What?
Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there in the listening audience, have a question or comment. The subject tonight, although you can certainly ask another question if you'd like, is Jules Archer's book, The Plot to Seize the White House. And it was a story that was told by Major General Smedley Butler, the only person I've ever heard of who had two Congressional Medals of Honor. And back in the 1930s, when, of course, he told the story, he was one of the most respected men in the United States. In fact, he was looked upon by many as really America's greatest general because he was a fighting general who was out there on the front lines. Of course, he wrote a book eventually called War is a Racket, and you can actually find that. We've reproduced most of the text of that in one of my newsletters. Just go to radioliberty.com and pull down Major General Smedley Butler's story, War is a Racket. And eventually he realized all those battles he fought, none of them were of any use at all. It was all, of course, for entirely different purposes, and the boys who fought and bled and suffered and died were ever allowed to know. Ray, did you have anything else to say before we let you go?
Well, the only other thing I want to say was that Mr. Bugliosi also said that he was hopeful that judge or, you know, some lower, you know, in the lower courts, I guess, or somebody in the lower courts would begin, you know, that these judges and these people that would begin to speak out, not people in the Supreme Court, you know, but
hold that. We'll be back in just a moment here. We've got to go to a break. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. We've got Ray from Santa Cruz on the line, and Ray, go right ahead. You were going to say that Bigliosi has basically said that he hoped that a lower court judge would do what?
That would come out they would have, like what they did, of course, during Watergate, you know, with Sam Ervin and that whole thing, and that kind of thing. You know, it needs to be done. It needs to be done. I think it needs to be done right away. I think time is running out for freedom in this country. It's really, you know, if the news media is all controlled the way, from what you're saying, it sounds like it is, we're in big trouble.
Well, you know? At least we still have programs like this. We have, of course, our shortwave. We have our Internet, although they'd like to control them. Right now, I mean, I can still get on radio stations, buy time on radio stations, and, have a radio station that they agree with our philosophy. I said, they put us on. Some stations put us on at a very nominal cost, and we really appreciate that because they believe in what we're doing, but they still have to be able to pay for the electricity on the stations. And so, in fact, in some of the stations, I don't even think we pay for the electricity, but at least we have an opportunity. This program is heard on 10 radio stations, and we have an opportunity to actually get on a number of new stations. But, of course, we need the help of the people out there, the listening audience. But this, with shortwave, with the Internet, with satellite, and certainly with the alternative radio, we're reaching people, far more people than we ever had before, and more people are learning the truth, Ray. So don't get discouraged. We got a lot of things going for us.
There are some Republican senators that came out that actually, recently I heard that they come out and they said that, well, if they find grounds for impeachment, then they would go along with it. These are Republicans, you know, so that it's not over yet.
It sure isn't over. It's going to be a very interesting, we've got about 5 months before the administration changes. My fear, of course, is that they're going to get us into a war with Iran, and then, of course, everybody who doesn't rally behind the government and its policies would be a traitor. And I fear an awful lot of American boys are going to be intentionally killed. Our government is putting them in harm's way intentionally. And, of course, whether it'll be a phony incident like the Bay of Tonkin or an Israeli attack on Iran, and then Iran's response. But remember, of course, our agents are working there, and I believe in the Iranian government. After all, everybody's forgotten. We brought the Iranian government to power back in 1979, and nobody ever asked why did the CIA bring the Ayatollah Khomeini to power. And, of course, I think it was waiting for times just like this. Hey, hang on there, Ray. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is David Tartaccini. We're talking about the book The Plot to Seize the White House, which was written by Julius Archer, apparently back in the 1970s. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. At 1-464-8295 here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question, you have a comment, give us a call. Ray, do you have anything else to say before we let you go?
That's all she wrote.
God bless. Thanks very much for being with us. So the lines are now open, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. David, would you like to get your website out there? And, of course, David's written a book, The Land of Childhood Fears, right? Of course, the story of his experiences in Vietnam when he was there. So do you want to get any information out so people can reach you?
Sure. My main website is www.net4truthusa.com. You can get the Plot to Seize the White House and all the other books that I have from links on that website. But if you want to read The Plot to Seize the White House, if you want to read it online, you can go to if you get a pencil and paper, http://. Plot to Seize the White House, all one word, no spaces, Plot to Seize the White House, .net4truthusa.com. That's http://plottoseizethewhitehouse.net4truthusa.com.
Okay.
You want a printed version? If you want a printed version, they can go to the Lulu website.
Or actually, they get it from us. We actually carry the book from Lulu. So if you really want to get the book, why give us a call at Radio Liberty at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd rather get it from Lulu, you can go there and get the book. But anyway, we hope that you'll want to get it from Radio Liberty. Because it's an interesting read. It's an important part of history. More important, the fact that they've been able to block out that and so many other important issues dealing with America. Actually, the coup has taken place. The people from the major banking concerns are in charge of our government. The central bank of the United States is they call it the Federal Reserve, but it's really a privately owned bank owned by the bankers, created for the bankers, created to enrich the bankers and impoverish the American people by destroying the value of everything they've worked for their whole lives, and that's what they're doing today through the process of inflation. They're robbing from the American people, the cruelest tax of all, and not one person in a million has any idea what they're really doing today. So the same people that wanted to seize the White House back in the 1930s are in complete and working control today. The man who's really running the finances here is not Ben Bernanke, it's a man named Mr. Henry Paulson. Where did he come from? Why, he gave up a $40 million a year job at Goldman Sachs to become the Secretary of the Treasury, where he gets, I think, $180,000 a year. Isn't that wonderful? And he heads the Working Group on Financial Matters, which manipulates the stock market. He controls all of the policies, the financial policies, and I'm sure he tells Ben Bernanke exactly what to do, because Ben Bernanke is simply the front man for the central bankers who control our government. And if you doubt that, we have a letter, and we found this among Colonel House's papers back at Yale back some years ago when I was there in 1980. I think I spent a couple of weeks going through Colonel House's papers. And here's the letter Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote to Colonel House saying, as you and I both know, Colonel, why, there are certainly the financial groups in certain areas have controlled the government of the United States going back to the time of Andrew Jackson, and I'm not excluding the time of WW, referring, of course, to Woodrow Wilson. Of course, Colonel House knew this. He was part of the group that actually controlled it, had controlled Woodrow Wilson and controlled FDR. And if you'd like to see that letter, we'd be glad to send you a copy. You could simply give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you get some of our other material, we'd be glad to send you a copy of that letter. As you and I both know, Colonel, certainly financial elements and sections of our country have controlled this government since the days of Andrew Jackson. Now, the letter was written back in 1933, and nothing has changed since that time. Our telephone number again, 1-888-244-LIBERTY, 464-8295. David, what sort of comments have you had from people who've read the book, The Plot to Seize the White House?
Well, I had a couple of people who purchased the book and then subsequently called me and said that I better watch what I'm doing because there's somebody I may end up dead.
Well, of course, we're all going to end up dead, you know. It's just a matter of when.
Hey, listen, you know, Dr. Stan, I'm not afraid of dying because I'm not afraid of heaven. So I know where I'm going. I believe that, you know, the Lord is with the both of us, and he has his veil of protection around us. So, you know, as long as we're doing this for the American people, I love my country, and I hate to see it fall into the hands that it has fallen into. And as far as the media is concerned, they have control over it. They know that they can't do like they did in 1933 in Nazi Germany and send the tanks in and demand papers from people on the street. They know they can't do it because there's too many good old boys out there with Remington 700s that could knock knock a flea off a gopher's back at 100 yards. There's too many of those guys out there, thank God. They know they can't do that. So what they'll do is they control the media, and by controlling the media, they control what you think, and controlling what they think, they control what you do. Your thoughts are controlling your actions. If you watch the news on TV, you're forming conclusions, and when you form those conclusions, they're the wrong conclusions because they're giving you half a truth and misleading information. But it's hard to argue with your own conclusion. And a lot of people, once they've made up their mind, that's it. They want to be right. They can't say that, oh, I was wrong. This is not the way it really is. Here's the way it really is, and this is the information that was missing. Most people won't take it toward that step, unfortunately. And that's why we're in the terrible situation that we're in this country today, because people do not know the truth. People are given half-truths that they're lied to, and they base their decisions and their actions on those lies. They it's hard to argue with your own conclusions. And
well, of course, what they do is they're using the techniques of propaganda that Bernays started describing in his book in the 1920s. Edward Bernays, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, wrote a book called Propaganda, which he said it talked about the people who really run America and the fact that there really is a small group that run this country. They're the invisible government of our country. They mold our tastes. They create our ideas. They shape our concepts. And, of course, most people have no idea who they are. Most people don't even understand that this a method of thought control is a very effective means of controlling largely what the American people think. And so often I will have people talk to me and they'll say, you know, I keep trying to tell them this, and their eyes glass over. They don't want to hear this, or they don't believe it, or they think I'm crazy. And I say, well, your job is not to convince them. Your job is to tell them. Ask them questions if you can. Don't tell them too much. But one of these days, even though they may think you're crazy today, before long they're going to be afraid you're not. And that day is coming very, very soon, because things are going to get very, very bad. I mean, all across this country, factories are shutting down. People are losing their jobs. And when they're facing real difficult financial times, or when, of course, they've got a choice between, having electricity in their homes or having heat in their homes or having food in their homes, they're going to begin wondering what happened to America. And that's where our listeners need to be there to begin to give them the information and explain to them that this whole energy crisis is contrived. The food shortages are contrived. The inflation that's driving up the cost of food and fuel and so many other things is all contrived. And there really is a clique out there that has a different agenda. They want to destroy the value of our currency and, of course, impoverish our people, as we've said many times before. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Let's go to Jack calling from Michigan. Hi, Jack. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, Dr. Stan, I do. Actually, three questions.
All right, fine. Just one at a time, please.
Sure. Okay. Speaking of the subject matter of the book, the plot to...
To seize the White House.
Okay. Were there congressmen involved in that? Did they authorize subsequently, for instance, all of this clandestine... surveillance upon the American populace? I'm thinking that might have been a consequence of that plot.
Well, let's get to David. You've read the book. Were members of Congress and the Senate involved in this plot as it was laid out initially?
They were going to approach the congressman, but Smedley Butler kind of put the kibosh on that. A lot of people look at Nazi Germany and they say, "Oh, it was a brutal dictatorship and all this stuff." But Nazism has several forms, and all that Nazism is corporate control of everything. The means of control has changed. You see, they can't do over here what they did over in Nazi Germany, so they have to do it surreptitiously. They have to do it covertly. They have to do it by lying, by making people believe in certain things like Osama bin Laden blew up the towers and stuff like that. It's not a plot where all the congressmen get together and say that's what we're going to do. But there are certain people in high up in the banking industries, Morgan Bank, Chase, the Harriman Bank, all those people got together and they say this is what we're going to do. We're going to control the money. We're going to own everything. And now they do own everything, because the paper money that you have in your pocket is only worth anything because you think it's worth something. It's worth nothing. It's not even worth the paper it's printed on.
I think, Jack, obviously, whether the congressmen and senators were involved, they certainly tried to put the kibosh on this idea that there it was a plot to seize the White House. And you can tell by the text of this book and the questions were asked that the congressmen were trying to really, some of them were trying to belittle General Smedley Butler. They were afraid really to come out and talk to him because he was so because he was so very, very popular at the time, and they would have come under attack. But what they did was try to sort of marginalize him and play it down and make it appear that he really hadn't fully understood what was going on. They called some of the other people who were involved, and they all denied it. Of course, it would have been a treasonous act. They could have been executed. But the Congress, whether they knew about the plot, they certainly knew after Smedley Butler blew the whistle, and they didn't want the information to come out because it led right to Thomas Lamont, who was one of the founding members of the Council on Foreign Relations, of course, back then.
Right. Okay.
Most people never even heard of the CFR. Go ahead.
I misunderstood the question, Dr. Stan. That's right. You're absolutely right. I just misunderstood the question. They were involved.
All right, fine. Jack, do you have a question?
Another question. Able Danger Project or Operation Able Danger, speaking of 9/11, Kurt Weldon, I was wondering if David had any knowledge of that scenario.
Do you know anything about Able Danger?
Very little. I have yet to research it, all the other stuff I'm doing, but they knew about it.
Basically, Able Danger was a special military intelligence operation, and it involved a certain number of military officers from several branches of service, and they were working over in Europe, and they actually knew about Muhammad Atta and this terrorist cell Atta belonged to in Hamburg, and they reported this, and everything was done to shut down the investigation. And this was before the September 11th attack, so they knew that they were coming to America. They knew that this was a terrorist issue, and actually, I think that these five military officers came forward and confirmed the story of Able Danger, and of course, the military career of all of those men was destroyed. Why? Because they told the truth. So they knew about the attack ahead of time, and everything was done, of course, to allow these people to come to the United States and allow them to get on those planes. And we don't know what happened that morning. We do know that the building number 7 was a controlled demolition, and all the evidence comes from an architectural and engineering point of view. There's no way that those twin towers could come down the way they did, and you could actually see the explosions at the levels below. And we used to have that up on our website. I tried to get onto it on Sunday to look at those DVDs that we had links to, and you'd never guess what had happened, Jack. That all disappeared from YouTube. I hope they're back tonight. Anyway, go ahead. And your third question, and again, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question or comment, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Okay, did you have another question?
Yes, Dr. Stan, you mentioned NSA, no such agency, and Echelon, and I was wondering if the guest knows when and what act of Congress authorized the British to conduct the surveillance here, and then I presume the NSA over in Great Britain.
I'm not aware of any act of Congress that authorizes
it. It wouldn't have been authorized by Congress. This would have been an administrative decision because these people want to give the impression that they're obeying the law. They're not obeying the law at all. They are violating the very spirit of the law. But, of course, these people don't believe in the law. They have their own agenda. In fact, a wonderful book written by Major General William Odom.
Right, William Odom.
And it's called Fixing Intelligence. And basically, in that book, he was the head of NSA. He knew what was going on. And he couldn't come out and tell us, but he sure asked a lot of interesting questions, like, should the CIA be killing people? Should the CIA have people planted in the press? Should the Defense Department be keeping dossiers on American citizens? And by asking those questions, of course, he was letting the American people know what was really going on. The book, Fixing Intelligence, by Major General William Odom, of course, you're never going to hear this discussed on the regular channels, certainly by our establishment communicasters. Anything else, Jack, before we let you go?
In closing, thank you, Dr. Stan, and I presume you have William Odom's book, Fixing Intelligence, just like you do have Edward Bernays' book, Propaganda, as well.
We have the books. We don't have them for sale, but we do have the books.
Okay.
They're in our library.
In closing, I just wanted to, rephrase. As far as the domestic surveillance of people like me and Dr. Stan, et cetera, who engage in regular conversations on this provocative subject matter, wouldn't there have to be congressional authorization for the intelligence community to do this somewhere?
No, they just do things on their own, Jack. They justify this in the name of national security. But since it's illegal, and they know it's illegal, they simply suppress this. And since the American people don't know about Project Echelon, but fortunately, we have the Internet. They go up. Echelon is E-C-H-E-L-O-N, E-C-H-E-L-O-N. There's a lot of disinformation there, but the truth is up there as well. Look it up.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless. Thanks very much. Bye-bye. And we'll be back here in just a moment. Our guest has been David Tavassini. The story, the plot to seize the White House. Well, David, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay, very good, Dr. Stan. I want to thank you again for this venue. Just on commenting on Jack's second question here for just a second. If anyone wants to research the World Trade Center demolition, go on my website, net4truthusa.com. And on the left hand side on the bottom, you'll see WTC demolition. Just click on that. There's a picture of an I-beam cut at a 45-degree angle with the slag on the outside. It's all explained there on the website. It needs no other pictures. Say 1,000 words. There's no other explanation for it. Dr. Stan, this book, every American ought to have a copy of this book. I urge you, for your own safety, for your own peace of mind, when you read it, I don't think you'll have any peace of mind when you read the book, but plot to seize the White House, get it from Dr. Stan, get a hard copy of the book in your hand, and pass it around to all the people you know. This is a very important work that should be read by every American. And Dr. Stan, thank you very much for what you do. It's incredible being on your program for so many times. I can't thank you enough. You have my support. You're in my prayers. Dr. Stan, thank you. God bless you. God bless you for what you do, Dr.
God bless you, and thank you very much, David. Really appreciate it, and thank you so much for coming on with us. Well, our guest has been David Tavassini, and because we're talking about the book which he has had republished, Jules Archer's book, The Plot to Seize the White House. We think it's important that you understand this part of history. There was another plot to seize the White House, certainly during the latter days of the Nixon administration, when Nixon was placing impeachment, and that is told in William Still's book, The New World Order, which we carry. And certainly it's really very, very well done. And, of course, it goes into the fact that William Still's father worked for the military. I was actually approached whether he and others would be willing to go along with a coup d'etat to keep Richard Nixon in power so that they could continue pursuing the Vietnam War, this senseless no-win war that Richard Nixon had kept us in for so many unnecessary years, and so many people had died. And, of course, Richard Nixon abandoned the boys in Vietnam. He knew that he was leaving 1,000 American soldiers, at least, to live a living hell. And he never had the courage to come out and tell the American people after he had left the White House. But after, of course, having his reputation destroyed by the media, they suddenly rejuvenated him, and he was praised when he, passed away. And he was really a slimy little hypocritical guy that I have no use for at all. Mainly because he abandoned American soldiers, men who fought and were far braver than he ever could have been. He was a true coward. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Now, for our listeners up in the Great Northwest, listening to us on the American Christian Network, why, we have an opportunity to do the afternoon program in Spokane on KWT, But we need to raise the funds for it, and then it will be on the weekend special there, in addition, heard on the whole network there. So something we haven't done before. If you're in a position to help us financially, we'd appreciate it. And I know many people are really hurting today. In fact, I just got a very generous contribution from a fellow in Tennessee today, and I called him to thank him, and his remark was, he said, I'll tell you where the money came from. I got laid off from my job, and they gave me this stock and my retirement, so I wanted to tie to you from that. And I said, are you going to be able to get a job? He said, no, there are not many jobs around here. All of our industries have moved overseas. But I really appreciated his sacrifice for giving, to help us, although I'm sure it was a real sacrifice for him. And this is the sort of thing that our supporters are, this average people who are concerned about America and concerned about God, and they many of them give sacrificially, and if you can help us at all, really we have to know in the next few days what's going to happen as far as the station up there, but if we could be on that evening program, it'll be 5 to 6 drive time in Spokane, Washington. If you can help us, give us a call. 1-800-544-8927. We want to get there. We're actually almost halfway as far as the financial requirements. We're excited about it, and we're excited because we have opportunities to get on other stations as well. And with your help, we're going to be able to do it. And, of course, when people hear the truth, I mean, they start out thinking we're crazy, and before long they're afraid we're not. And so if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to. If you'd like to get the book, The Plot to See the White House, why, of course, we do carry that. We think it's an important book. You want to listen to our talk on the forbidden secret, because there is a forbidden secret out there. And you need to understand how this all fits together historically. Because, of course, there have been many great empires in the past, but every one of them was directed by the same spiritual forces that are directing the American empire today. So, certainly, The Forbidden Secret, there's a DVD, and, of course, there's a syllabus that goes with that. Then there's a new talk called Secret Knowledge. It's on the DVD. No syllabus for that, but it's a supplement to the previous talk. And then, of course, our talk on the planned police state. And there's a syllabus for that, of course, it's a DVD. You need to get our information on concentration camps, the four-tape set, the DVD, America, a Barbed Wire of America, I think is the title, and then, of course, the amazing clips, which, of course, goes into the Iran-Contra hearings, where they tried to bring out the fact that there really is a plot in case of a national emergency to suspend the Constitution and suspend habeas corpus and round up American citizens and put them into concentration camps. And don't wait. You need to get the information. We have what we call the concentration camp special, or you can get the individual items. If you want to see that footage, it's actually from the Iran-Contra hearings where they're trying to bring out the truth about what's going on, about the plan to suspend the Constitution and set up the concentration camps. This was a C-SPAN film, and of course you'll actually see that on my DVD, World Revolution, which of course has my interview with Ambassador Earl T. Smith, the American ambassador to Cuba at the time of the revolution, where he tells you that everything you ever believed is not true. The State Department and the CIA brought Fidel Castro to power, and they knew that Fidel Castro was a communist. But they brought him to power anyway. So please give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 if you're interested in any of these items. Or, of course, our webpage, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And if you're in the Northwest and you can help us get on that program in Spokane, give us a call, please. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be really not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and of course, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of David Getoff, and we're going to be talking about hazardous waste. We're going to be talking about toxic metal and toxic substance exposure and poisoning of the people. And because, you know, we hear a lot about people dying of cancer. People do not understand that we are living in a time when cancer is an epidemic, and yet if you go back to the beginning of the last century in the early 1900s, about one in every 33 people contracted cancer. Now it's one in every two or three, and but of course we know that the government has a war on cancer, don't we? And they're doing everything they can to stop cancer, aren't they? But what you don't know is there have been treatments for cancer that have been suppressed for 50 years. And if you haven't read the Fitzgerald Report that came out over 50 years ago, published in the Congressional Record, and then totally suppressed, it is available on our website at RadioLiberty.com, and you can actually scroll down on RadioLiberty.com and the letters, you'll see the Fitzgerald Report and read it and understand the terrible crime against humanity. Well, our guest this evening is a naturopath, and he has studied the subjects of diet and certainly of nutrition and, of course, of the danger from toxic metal contamination. So without further ado, let's go to David. Thank you very much for being with us this evening.
You're very welcome. Anything I can ever do to help educate the public in all the ways in which they've been sent in the wrong direction because of marketing and the wrong kind of wishes, I am always willing to do.
Well, let's get into this whole idea of toxic metal, poisoning, chronic metal poisoning. You bring out a lot of very interesting things about this, and so why don't you pick up the story and tell it, and then we'll just we'll banter back and forth, because I think people need to understand that most Americans are loaded down with toxic metals, which of course is producing this epidemic we see now of dementia, of Alzheimer's disease, of Parkinson's disease, of anterior lateral sclerosis, of multiple sclerosis, and multiple other things, and many of these are partly or totally related to heavy metals. And of course the average individual has no idea that we're poisoning our children with vaccines, we're poisoning the elderly with vaccines, and by so many other means, by dental fillings. But you pick up the story there.
Sure. Well, basically, the public gets told what comes out of the media, and we both know how accurate that is, of course. And the media, really the only time the media ever talks about heavy metals at all is that they will make a comment occasionally that people who are pregnant should not be eating large amounts of certain kinds of fish because they're too high in mercury, and possibly people who are nursing for the same reason. And they never seem to bother to mention the fact that if the parent has even one or two silver fillings, which are really a misnomer, because since they're 50% mercury and there's nothing else in there that is 50%, they should be called mercury fillings. But nonetheless, if we've got silver fillings that are 50% mercury, the amount of mercury that is actually coming into those people is all sorts of different areas, none of which come close to the amount coming from the fillings. So, as usual, we warn them about one thing where the major problem is coming right out of their mouth and isn't being spoken about at all.
And I think you point out the fact that they get as much mercury every day from their filling as they would every time they eat fish. In other words, you get the constant infusion of mercury into your system, venting from those fillings with a minuscule amount in fish. Would that be right?
Well, obviously, if somebody were to eat a shark, swordfish, or one of the ones that are super high in mercury, and they happen to have a teeny tiny single filling in their mouth, I don't know anybody that only has one, I guess it might be possible that day that they got more from the fish. But since most people have a number of fillings, and of course some people have many, many, and the chances are extremely likely that the vast majority is coming from their fillings.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment. Well, David, go right ahead.
No problem.
Okay.
I'll just continue.
Yes, go right ahead. We just sure. We actually take the breaks, but you and I talk through the breaks.
Very good. So the public believes maybe they shouldn't eat certain fish. Maybe they only shouldn't eat certain fish if they're pregnant. Maybe they only shouldn't eat certain fish if they're nursing. And in fact, the fish, as you said, are not the main issue. The main issue is the silver fillings in their mouth. However, I have lots of patients that have never had a silver filling and don't even like fish. And yet we do a challenge test on them where you give them a large amount of something that grabs onto toxic metals such as mercury, lead, arsenic, cadmium, nickel, etc. And lo and behold, they dump a whole bunch of all of these toxins.
Could you actually explain to our listeners what this challenge test is? Because a lot of them have been asking me about it, and I'd like you to describe it for us.
Sure. Well, one of the big problems is that people want to know what's inside them in the form of these toxins. And I always like people to begin to understand with the most important thing being, sorry, you can never know what's inside you. That can only be done at autopsy when we grind you up. All we can really know is what's currently coming out. And that may or may not be a good indication of what's there. But the challenge test is something that we sometimes do and sometimes don't do to take a little snapshot look at what might be in them by giving the patient a larger than normal amount of some agent. There are many different ones on the market. We can mention a couple that are available to the public. But a large amount of some agent that grabs onto toxic metals and holds them and pulls them out of their cells and then dumps them into the system. They get filtered out by kidneys and liver. And they come out in, for example, your urine or your stool or your hair. And you analyze one of those three in a lab. And they take a look and see, well, you know, on that particular sample of urine or stool or hair, how much lead or mercury or cadmium or nickel is actually coming out. But since you want to make sure to get a really good look, instead of giving them the amount you might normally give them, let's say on a daily basis, you give them 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 times that amount just, you know, during one day and collect that amount of urine, and that's called the challenge. You're giving the body a challenge. If we give you a whole bunch of this substance to really pull things out, how much are you going to grab onto? So that's the challenge test to take a quick look. And, you know, people have an idea, oh, well, look at this. I thought I had a lot of mercury, but, only lead is coming out. That doesn't mean they don't have a lot of mercury. The body is a biochemical entity, and very possibly your body feels like, obviously doesn't feel like, but your body's chemistry is releasing lead first. And you might have to continue pulling out on a daily basis for 6 months. And, of course, if you had the money, you could do a urine test or a stool test every single day. We don't usually do that.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with David. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and David was simply describing, of course, the challenge test and what sort of things would you give the individual to pull the toxic substances out of their cells, out of their brain, out of their body, so they could be measured in the urine or in the stool.
Well, most often a medical doctor who is not trained in any of the holistic substances would use DMPS, DMSA, EDTA, or D-penicillamine. Those are the four medical substances. I don't like them because they pull faster and harsher than the body wants. There are a number of non-medical substances. They include chlorella, cilantro, a product called metal-free, a product called NDF. My favorite of all of them, because I find it works best in my office with my patients, is one of the zeolite products, and it's called ACZ. That stands for actually activated cellular zeolite, and then the word nano, A-N-A-N-O. So if somebody was looking for it on the internet, they would just go into Google and put in ACZ space and then the word nano. And it's a zeolite product. It is not network marketed or multi-level. It's very reasonably priced. And I have people slowly build up from one spray twice a day. It happens to be a spray that goes in your mouth. One spray twice a day, and about maybe once every 4 or 5 days, they go up by one spray. That way, if you get to the point where your body says, hold on, wait a second, I don't want the toxins coming out that fast, you will end up starting to get headaches, loose stool, you may start to feel fatigue like you didn't get enough sleep, even though you did. And at that point, you know that the substance is pulling faster than your body likes, and you back it up to the dose that didn't cause a problem. But if I'm using that particular product, which again is one of my favorites and is available to the public on the web, then I usually slowly bring people up until they get to 5 sprays twice a day. And then I tell them, just stay there. And if you really want to reduce your risk of cancer and all the neurological diseases, I would say stay on it for the rest of your life. I mean, I'm never going to stop taking detox, but certainly at least do it for a couple of years.
All right, fine. Now, of course, now, one of the things we're told to find out what's going on with you, why you get a hair analysis, you know, before you ever do any detox, you get a hair analysis and find out, you know, what's in your body. And, of course, that really sounds very good, but so many times, of course, people don't want it. Their bodies don't want to release the mercury, and so it's not going to be found in the hair, to my way of thinking. In other words, you're not going to find the mercury in the hair until, of course, you begin to forcibly excrete it. But have you run into this?
What you said is exactly correct. The biggest problem out there is that people believe that the way to find out what's there is by just taking a quick look, such as a hair analysis or stool or urine. And what you said is, in fact, correct. The body is not releasing it. It is not, doesn't even want to deal with it. It's bound up in your cells. It will be there for the rest of your life. And as you said, we need to be pulling it. And since the amount that gets into your hair, because your hair grows very slowly, is minuscule, if you want to see how much, you must first go on at least 6 weeks worth of daily detox, and then when you do the hair analysis, assuming you do it correctly, which is the first inch of hair from the scalp out, and the rest of it you throw out, so you're just getting the last 6 weeks worth of growth, then you will take a look. But in general, what has been shown is that those people who, in a regular, ordinary test, without taking something to pull, somebody decides to take a look in one of these different substances, those people with the lowest amounts are at the highest risk, because it means their body, normally and naturally, is binding this stuff and doesn't know how to get rid of it.
And I think that is really such an important point, and it's really, I really believe it's valid scientifically. We know very well from our good friend Dr. Boyd Haley, professor of chemistry, that, you know, when they would actually check these children who are autistic, and then check their hair, they wouldn't have any mercury in it, because everybody said, well, see, mercury can't be responsible because there's no mercury in the hair. Well, that was because, of course, the brain was binding the mercury and it wasn't getting out. And there's really so much to this. There's so much misinformation being put out very often by people who are actually selling these products. So I think it's so vitally important that we know. Do you think that the herbal products work better than the EDTA?
Well, what I've found is, and this is a premise of mine, that our bodies don't like to do things in a lumpy fashion. Let's do a whole bunch today, let's not do any tomorrow. Let's do a whole bunch for 3 or 4 days, and then let's not do any for a while. That's not the way we like to do things. Can you imagine saying that you're going to be stopping in, Mexico City, a really polluted area, for a layover with your plane? So you decide that for the day before, you're going to breathe twice as many times per hour, so that when you stop in Mexico City, you can just hold your breath for that 2 hours. You can't do that. The body likes to do things evenly. And these products such as EDTA, DMSA, DMPS are so strong that you can hurt somebody if you do them daily. And therefore, they have to be used only a couple of days or a week, and then you stop and you wait, and then you do it again. And I do not believe the body likes to do things that way. I believe we are better off using those substances at the proper dose that can be used on a daily basis.
Well, I think it's really very interesting. You're talking about the air pollution in Mexico City, but, of course, we have air pollution in many cities. And certainly there's a doctor over in London, or maybe Birmingham, I'm not sure which, but he studied the incidence of disease upwind and downwind from some of the generators over there where they're destroying chemicals of all sorts. And if you're downwind and you're getting the smoke from those generators, your incidence of cancer and autism and all sorts of neurodegenerative diseases skyrockets.
Yep.
And, of course, but this is little known over there. He's been roundly criticized, and yet there's nothing wrong with the statistics. Anybody who tries to get the truth out is demonized. And why would you be disposing of toxic substances right in the middle of a busy city? And that doesn't make any sense unless you wanted to do harm, because these things are known. And I'm sure you have a list of all the things, you know, the new car smell and odor in a car.
Oh, yeah.
Things that we're taking, we're plugging in, you know, to give us nice smells in the house. I mean, even the odor of some of the polishes and things we use in our household. Why don't you pick up and just talk about all the sources of the toxins that we are susceptible to, and the average individual never even stops and thinks about them.
And you hit on a couple of them really, really well. I go into people's houses and they've got these, you know, plug-ins, or maybe that's a registered trademark, but whatever anybody wants to call them, and they don't understand, unless they go to the health food store and buy an essential oil and put a little bit of that somewhere, all these others are chemicals, they're toxins, and it's one more poison. So somebody's covering up the smells they don't like with a toxic smell that they do like, but that is poisoning them just as much. We've got all the toxins that are coming formaldehyde, which is used in urea formaldehyde glue to make press board. We've got all the different toxins that are used to make foam rubber in all of our furniture. We have all the toxins that are used to make the furniture upholstery more stain resistant. And then to make matters worse, in California and some other states, we now have a huge amount of extremely neurotoxic or nerve toxic substances that are being put onto furniture and children's bedding to be able to prevent fires, so that if your infant happens to be smoking in bed, his crib is not going to catch fire, which is totally ridiculous. So you've got the smells coming out of the toner in your copier or your laser jet, you name it, and there is something in everything. And then, of course, people are lathering on sunscreens, which are loaded with known and thought to be cancer-causing agents to supposedly protect from the sun, which, of course, doesn't cause cancer. And that may be one of the reasons why more and more people are lathering on sunscreens in the last 10 years than ever before. And what's happened? The skin cancer rate has gone up.
And, of course, people never stop and think about these things. We accept blindly if we're told, oh, my goodness, you know, you don't want to go out there in the sun. Why? Of course, that's going to give you skin cancer. You need to be out in the sun. Why? Because that's how you produce your own vitamin D. That, you got to take large amounts of supplements. But if you just got maybe 30 minutes of sun every day, you know, with your shirt off, or, you know, why, of course, you wouldn't need to be taking vitamin D supplements. And vitamin D, incidentally, is excellent as far as helping to fight infection, is excellent as far as helping to fight cancer, because it increases the immune response, and we have cancers all over us every day. But the body takes care of them. The immune system takes care of them. You deprive us of vitamin D, deprive us of sunlight, and then we wonder why the cancer level is going up. And all of these things are well known.
They are. They are. They are very well known. And what's interesting is mercury, which is a very good example. Mercury is known to be so toxic that they have pulled it out of everything.
Except, of course, of our vaccinations.
Except it's still partially in the vaccines, and it's still being put in our mouths every day by dentists. 45%. It just went below half, thankfully. 45% of the fillings that are put into teeth in the United States are now mercury fillings called silver amalgams. Used to be way higher than that. I'm glad they finally got below 50%. And yet, none of those fillings are removed when somebody is cremated, so let's make sure we get that stuff back into the environment so we can all keep breathing it. And at the same time, they've pulled it out of mercury switches, they've pulled it out of paints, they've pulled it out of all sorts of things where it was a fungicide, they've pulled it out of lots of different places, but they leave it right in your mouth, which is right there underneath your brain. And here we're trying to supposedly reduce neurological diseases. It's not happening, and that's one of the reasons.
And they know exactly what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
These things have been, in fact, they've even been litigated. The FDA lost a case recently where they were ordered by the judge, you know, to set up standards for the mercury and let people understand that they're poisoning them. And they said, why should we? I mean, it's right there on the package, you know. You look at the package where the mercury filling is there. Why? And, of course, but the patient never sees that.
No.
And the dentist, a lot of them to this date, cannot admit that they're poisoning their patients. Well, I hate to say this, but they're going to have to be some terrible lawsuits brought against dentists for poisoning their patients. And at that point, and only at that point, are we going to get any progress. But it took the lawyers to get the truth about the cigarettes out there. And although we haven't stopped smoking, at least we've cut it down considerably. But the lawyers had to do it because the government refused to. But even far more dangerous than smoking is the fillings that are put in the mouths of the people. And then we wonder why the incidence of Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease and
sclerosis.
Right. All of these progressive neurological diseases is just skyrocketing.
I do want to be fair, though. I don't believe that the dentists are doing this on purpose. They were taught that it's okay, and they're just too ignorant to take the time to look and see whether maybe they were wrong. They'd rather believe what they were taught. And a closed mind is not a good way for a health practitioner to behave.
Well, of course, the idea is, of course, you know, it's us against them. Those people out there, these crazy people trying to accuse us of doing bad things, we would never knowingly do anything to harm our patients. And that's true. But, of course, they better start thinking independently. But I'm afraid there are going to be some terrible lawsuits, and I'll be there in the cheering section. They're going to have to accept responsibility for what they've done.
Very
and
good.
They've got to start getting those fillings out. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, David, you go right ahead, because I mean, I've certainly reread your article that in the News with Views this evening, and certainly it's very, very well done. You actually have a number of DVDs that you put out. How do people get those?
My DVDs are all carried by a nonprofit that I like called the Price Pottinger Nutrition Foundation, which is real easy. PP for Price Pottinger, NF for NutritionFoundation.org, and they've got all of my stuff. A really interesting story that you'd like is that I had a patient who was a retired professor at dental colleges. And he came in to me, and he brought his wife in, and he said, we're going to have to agree to disagree on that mercury issue, but you've been recommended very highly, so let's see what you can do for my wife. And I said, well, wait a minute, hold on a second now, before we have to agree to disagree, if you were wrong, and if mercury really was a problem, and it really did come out of dental fillings, and it really was horribly, horrendously bad for everybody, and if everything you were taught in dental school and are still teaching in dental school was incorrect, would you want to know? And the retired dental professor said, well, I'm not stupid. I'm an intelligent person. Of course I would want to know. It's just that the research clearly shows that silver fillings, which I understand are 50% mercury, lock in the mercury, it doesn't come out, and it doesn't cause a problem. And I said, but you would want to know if you were wrong. He said, of course I would. I said, well, then may I loan you a couple of DVDs that were presented by the International and American Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, or from some seminars at some clinical nutrition conferences I was at, where the entire seminar was experts in heavy metals. And he said, I got plenty of money. You don't have to lend them to me. I'll buy them from you. So he bought a few of these. And when he came back a couple months later for his wife's second visit, he walks in the door in my office, and he says, I want you to know I am furious. And I took me aback. I had no idea what he was talking about. I hadn't seen him in 2 months. And I said, I certainly hope it's not at me. He said, no, it's not at you. He said, it's at all of the information that you gave me that I've read. We have been misleading dentists since the beginning, and everything we're telling them is a lie, and we're telling them that the research shows that amalgams are safe, and I looked into the fact that these experts were saying there is no such research, and lo and behold, they are correct. There is no such research. We've been telling people research exists that doesn't exist, and I am furious that we have been doing things from ignorance and are so stupid, and I will now tell as many people as I know. So there are some open-minded people, but he's not a dental professor anymore. So he can't do as much as it would have been nice for him to be able to do had he still been one.
Well, I think what we have to do is, of course, get the information out, reach as many people as we can. We know that, for instance, over in Sweden, why, they will not pay to have a mercury filling put in. They'll pay to have a mercury filling taken out, but they won't pay to have it put in because they know that they're poisoning people. And I think the information is getting out. The fact that the majority of dentists are no longer putting in the mercury fillings, I think, is a great accomplishment.
It is a great accomplishment.
And, of course, one of the things I suddenly have one of our listeners called the other night and said, well, you know, my dentist just put a composite of dental filling in my tooth. And I said, oh, that's nice. He said, yes, and he mixed in fluoride with it. And I said, he did what? He said, oh, yes, because the fluoride is going to keep the infection down.
Oh, my God.
And you know, and so what can you say? You know, I just gave him a little lecture on that. But, of course, you know, it's certainly not simply mercury. That's not the only one. A lead, an aluminum fluoride, chlorine. Well, I'm going to let you pick up this story because you know it better than I do.
Sure, and that is all true. They're all in there. There's still lead all over the place. We're getting lots of places, especially different states, that are now requiring young children to get tested for lead. And, of course, it's not going to show unless they have a current exposure. If the exposure was...
Hold that thought, David. We'll be right back here.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest, of course, is David Getoff, and he's simply talking about, and he has a degree as a naturopath, and certainly he's well-versed in these. He doesn't put a doctor in front of his name, but he certainly is his practice, his clinical nutrition. He's simply talking about all of the metals we're exposed to, not just simply mercury, but lead and aluminum, and fluoride, and cadmium, and certainly, and the chlorine. Certainly, chlorine is not good for you at all. We have to put small amounts of it in the water to sterilize the water. But you know, we really need to do everything we can to get as much of that chlorine out, because all of these things are toxic to the human body. So, and bromide, certainly the bromide that they're using in a lot of Broma seltzer and various types of bromide drinks. And
it's in the bread, brominated flours.
Yeah, I know. In fact, now they're going to get away from that by fumigating the wheat with fluoride. Isn't that a wonderful solution?
Oh, yes, a wonderful solution. We're talking about lead a second ago, and they're testing children for lead, but the lead will only show up in a blood test if it's a current exposure. If it was a while ago, it's already inside, doing its damage. Most people don't realize that fluoride toothpaste, if they read the label, tell you right on there that if you swallow even the amount used for brushing, call poison control immediately. They made them put that on because of a death from some toothpaste, but the people don't even realize that it's on there. People don't read their toothpaste tubes. Everybody knows how to brush their teeth. So, there's so much stuff out there. It's just, it's infuriating that the money people can keep on throwing poisons at us and that we have to sue to protect ourselves. And the money isn't there to make the lawsuits. And we should be in a country where you have to prove something safe before it goes out, but instead we are in a country where you have to prove that it's not safe before what they put on the market without adequate testing gets taken back off the market. It's really infuriating.
I know it is, but the thing is it's having a cumulative effect on the body. And one of the points you made, which I thought was very interesting, is that, certainly, of course, we do certain studies with a mouse or with a rat, and we would say that this would kill one mouse in 100,
yep.
For that amount. And could you tell that story? Because I don't think most people understand the influence of cumulative effect.
Absolutely. That's an extremely important research study that was done a number of years ago. There's something called the LD in science. LD stands for lethal dose. And then they put a percentage after it. So, for example, the LD1 is the amount of a substance which is so toxic that it would kill one out of 100 of whatever animal you tested it with. Let's say they used mice. So if they used the LD1 for mercury, then out of each 100 mice, one mouse would die. And what they found was they combined the LD1 of mercury with the LD1 of lead, which you would expect then for me, maybe you'd get two mice out of 100 that would die, and instead they killed 100 mice. So the LD1 for one substance plus the LD1 for a second substance, because they were given together, produced an LD100. And we are exposed to all of these and all the pesticides and all the herbicides and all the stuff in our houses all together, and everything's being tested separately. And that's a horrendous test. It's actually a testament to how phenomenally adaptive our bodies are that we don't have everybody getting cancer and dying before they're 10. But one of the things I like to make certain to tell people is if you decide that you wanted to get, for example, your silver fillings removed, do not ask your dentist to do it. Because if your dentist still uses silver fillings, he or she doesn't know how to pull them out properly, and they're going to put even more mercury in your mouth as they drill them out. Make certain, absolutely certain, you find a properly trained mercury-free dentist with all the proper precautions, with the right air supplies, with the right filters, so that they don't put even more mercury in your mouth as they vaporize the amalgams by drilling them out. Don't ever have a regular dentist do that, or that can put you into the wheelchair that you might not have been in for another 10 years.
And I think that's such an important issue, is that if you go to your dentist and you have them take out those mercury fillings, you can get mercury toxicity.
Yep.
I know when I went to my dentist did everything right. He's a good man, a good friend. He's a mercury-free dentist. But still, when he took the dam out of the back of my mouth after taking out a couple of fillings, I got a tremendous dose of mercury. My heart began to pound, and unfortunately, I don't have any residual from it, but I could hate to think what would have happened if he hadn't taken all the precautions and the irrigation and the alternate means of breathing during that. And, of course, I think it's so important to tell our listeners where they can find a mercury-free dentist. Do you want to tell them?
Well, there are a couple of different websites. Probably one of my favorite is IAOMT, which is the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, and there's the Holistic Dental Association and a couple of others. But you really have to make sure you get a good dentist, or you can make matters much worse.
And I think that's such a vitally important. That's the IAOMT. The International Association of Oral Medicine and Toxicology. You can go there. Actually, a telephone call, but to the headquarters. But even more than that, of course, you can just scroll down and you can find the dentist in your area who've taken the courses. And those are the dentists you want to be going to, because they understand the danger of fluoride. They understand the danger of mercury. And they've taken the time to study it, and of course, they need your support. Hail, Dr. Stan Mack, here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is David Getoff, and of course we're talking about the dangers of metal poisoning, and of course poisoning from so many of the other things. And David has an excellent article. It appeared in News with Views recently. It was called, Can Hazardous Waste Be Safely Removed from Our Bodies? And it appeared, probably within the last, couple of weeks, David?
Yeah, I would say the last couple of weeks.
All right, fine. And, of course, go to newswithviews.com. You should be going there anyway. And pull down David Getoff's article. You'll find it listed there. And he's done a great job. And really, of course, very, very provocative things. And of course, he refers you to his DVDs. Now, these DVDs are available through this website you were talking about.
Yeah, that's the Price-Pottinger Nutrition Foundation, PP for Price-Pottinger, NF for nutritionfoundation.org. It's a nonprofit in San Diego County, been around 56 years. People that happen to wish to join and become a member and get their newsletter get discounts on my DVDs. But all of my stuff is always available there, all of my entire classes, 12 different DVDs. One of the things I always like to tell people, because of how important it is, just like having the right dentist, is that if you were trying to remove a whole bunch of toxins from a large container, and you had a hose connected to that container, and all the toxins had to go through that hose. In our body, that hose might be either your liver or your kidneys or both, because all the toxins pass through one or both of those. And you decided you wanted to get them out in a little bit more of a hurry, and so you did something to the top of this container and pressurized it to push harder. Well, if you push too hard, you're going to explode the hose, and that's what you're using to detox. So we don't want to push too hard without making sure that the pathways are open, and the pathways are your liver and your kidneys. So you always want to make sure that you've got some kind of good liver product, some kind of good kidney product, and you use those maybe for a month or two before you start doing detox, so that you don't end up making yourself feel so horrible that you wish you hadn't started the detox, because you're pulling out the bad things faster than your body wants to. And, you know, there's lots of different detox products on the market. Again, my favorite was ACZ Nano. There's lots of different kidney and liver products on the market. There's actually a website which is interesting called EliteAlternatives.net, which has nothing to do with me. It's a nurse who's decided to try and slowly make available the products that I talk about in my classes and in my videos. So she's got a couple of liver and kidney support products on there, and, of course, I talk about them in the video. But just like you want to make sure you have a good dentist, if when you're doing any kind of detox, I don't care what it is, it makes you feel bad, that does not mean you shouldn't do it. That is simply a neon sign jumping out that says, too fast, slow down. That means, and as a matter of fact...
Hold that thought yeah. Right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is David Getoff, and we're simply talking about toxicity, certainly from the metals, the heavy metals, and the other toxins that we get into our body, and how you've got to learn how to take them out, and certainly you've got to avoid exposure. But lead, I mean, so many of our people, there's nothing really more toxic than lead and mercury. And so what are they doing? Why, they're putting lead in our drinking water. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, they add lead to your drinking water with hydrofluorosilicic acid. They tell you, oh, well, it's only just a little bit, wouldn't do any harm. But, of course, so tell me, what is the safe level of lead? There is no safe level of lead, ladies and gentlemen. What's the safe level of mercury? There is no safe level of mercury, and yet they're putting in the vaccine, and they're recommending for pregnant women in the first trimester where it'll do the most harm, and for children, you know, at 6 months of age, when it'll do the most harm to the developing brain. Why would rational people do that? Why, of course, we're not dealing with rational people. We're dealing, in my estimation, with people who have a different worldview and no concern at all for humanity. Well, right now, of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to David about this subject, which he's very well versed in. And I certainly very, very impressed reading the article that appeared in News with Views. But why don't you get your website out and the other websites where people can go to get reliable information?
Sure. Well, my own website, the easiest way to get to it and the easiest way to remember it is just my name, davidgetoff.com. And the only time people have problems is if they can't quite believe that my last name is really just Get and Off. But it really is one T, two Fs, davidgetoff.com. But there's nothing for sale on my website. It's just information. And all of my videos are at PP for Price Pottinger, NF for Nutrition Foundation.org, and that Elite alternatives.net is a woman who has nothing to do with me directly, although I know her, and tries to make a lot of the products that I talk about in my videos for sale to the public.
Oh, David, is that ppnf.net or .com or .org?
I'm sorry, ppnf is .org. ppnf.org, it's a nonprofit foundation.
All right, very good. So if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for David, once again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But people are going to have to look after their health. You cannot depend upon the government. The Amish children do not have the diseases the regular children do because, of course, they try to avoid so much of what we do, and they do not take vaccinations, and they don't allow anybody to put toxic substances into their bodies. Remember, the vaccination is not simply a matter of mercury. There's also aluminum in there. Why would you want to use toxic aluminum? Well, because, of course, it's an adjuvant, and, of course, it makes the vaccines work all the better. It mobilizes the immune system, and that's exactly right. It mobilizes the immune system, and the immune system mobilization will go on for a year, and it mobilizes the immune system in the brain and begins to break down the brain. They know all of these things. The same thing, of course, is with the mercury. It, of course, mobilizes the immune system, and, of course, it attacks the brain. And, of course, all of these substances are terribly toxic. Why would you want to give terribly toxic substances to pregnant women? Would be poisoned the child in her womb? Why would you want to give it an aluminum vaccine, hepatitis B, in the nursery? Well, there is absolutely no medical benefit to doing that. Most mothers carries hepatitis B, and of course, far more children are damaged by the vaccine than are helped by taking it. And of course, all you have to do is check the mother ahead of time, make sure she doesn't have the hepatitis B vaccine. But this is a massive experiment. They're experimenting on your children and every child in America. And if you know anybody's got pregnant, tell them not to take that hepatitis B vaccine. And, of course, we get some of the other material we have on vaccinations. We don't want to get off on that subject tonight. Maybe we get Dr. Getoff back in a little later to talk about these things from his point of view. Well, Cindy, David, is there anything else we should be covering as far as the heavy metals are concerned, or the toxins that people are coming in constant contact with, certainly with so many of the household products? And nobody ever tells them, but gee, it smells so wonderful. And it really does smell wonderful. It smells so fresh and nice, and many of these are actually poisoning you. Are there any of them that are actually absolutely safe?
No, there really aren't any that are absolutely safe. Actually, one of my favorite websites that I have nothing whatsoever to do with is the Environmental Working Group that neither of us have mentioned, EWG, for EnvironmentalWorkingGroup.org. And it's a nonprofit watchdog agency that is looking after us all, and it's talking about cosmetics, which ones are safer, which ones are not, skin preparations, which ones don't have all the garbage that you don't want your body to absorb. They take a look at all the various different things. They do a very good job, and they did a study a number of years ago, which is still available on their site, called the Body Burden Study, where they took a number of individuals, they sent fat samples into a number of labs, and they showed all the toxic chemicals that were in all of these people, even the ones that were strictly organic. So it's a good website for people to look at if they think that really and truly we're fine and there isn't that much in the environment, because they do a good job of exposing it. I love that organization. It's one of the ones I give money to.
Well, of course, the other thing, of course, is that you make a point that, before you begin to detox, you really need to get a lot of good nutrition into you. Would you like to pick up that story and the thought behind it?
Yes, I absolutely would. People don't understand that, when you start to pull toxins out of the body, if the body isn't ready, it makes you feel horrible, and people automatically say, oh, I shouldn't have done that, which is actually not true. It's just you shouldn't have done it yet. So you want to make sure you get a good multivitamin. You want to make sure you drink enough water. You want to make sure that you've taken a good liver support and kidney support product for a couple of months to prepare those organs for the onslaught of all the toxins that are coming out. Because the most important thing to remember is if you do any kind of detox and it makes you feel bad, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do the detox. That means, oh my goodness, do I need this detox? Just pulling these stuff out is making me feel so horrible. That shows how much horrible stuff is in you. That means we do have to pull it out more slowly, more safely, so it doesn't make you feel bad. More preparation, more kidney support, more liver support, more dilution, more water, etc., etc. Anytime you start a detox and you feel awful, that's a sign saying, boy, do I need to do this, and boy, do I need to do it more slowly or more carefully. So don't ever think if you start a product that you believe to be good, that somebody you trusted told you was good, and all this product is slated to do is to grab poisons and pull them out of your body, and that makes you feel bad. Don't ever go, oh, well, they were wrong, I shouldn't take it. Because more than likely, all it's saying is, wow, do I have so many poisons in me that when we start to move them out, which is certainly where you want them, out, that it makes me sick. That doesn't mean don't do it. It means do more preparation and do it more slowly.
And that is just really so vitally important. All right, again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you're out there listening to our program, why give us a call. We would love to hear from you. Under any circumstances, certainly we're talking about this very, very real problem that exists today, and so many of our people are systematically being poisoned. Now, of course, you mentioned, of course, things to prepare your liver and your kidneys. Are these herbal preparations? Is this a hawthorn? What are you basically talking about that will help, of course, to strengthen the liver?
Well, that's an excellent question. There are a number of different specific herbs out there. A milk thistle is one that protects the liver. But I use the very complex ones that do a much better job than that. And they're available on the Internet. One of the ones I like a lot is called Liver Balance Plus from the Pure Body Institute. Their kidney product is called Kidney Rescue. There are a couple other products I like called ApoHepat for hepatic support, which is liver support, and Renalix for renal support, which is kidney support. You know, these are very complicated products with numerous different herbs in them, which are used to help support the kidney and the liver, help detoxify the kidney and the liver, and they get taken for usually anywhere from 1 to 3 months to help prepare the body or being able to safely pull all this stuff out without overloading those fabulous organs, which we need working correctly, because they're all going to be there with the toxins passing through them on the way out to our kidney, to our stool, to our urine, and of course, goes out to our hair, goes out in our breath. And as you mentioned, Professor Haley, I know Boyd, he's a fabulous man, and what you said was very true. People thought that because there was no mercury in the hair of the newborns that got autism, that therefore the connection wasn't there. But as you said, what really it meant was that the ones in which there was no mercury in the hair were the ones that weren't able to get it out of their body, because if they could mobilize it, it would end up in the hair. And therefore the ones with high hair mercury did not become autistic. And the ones that were not able to get it out, and so they had low hair mercury, it made total sense that those were the ones with the higher number of people that became autistic very, very quickly after birth. So all the things that they want us to know and all the things that are factual are so often opposite ends of the planet that you start to wonder what's going on. And, of course, the answer is that, number one, money talks and health has nothing to do with it. Number two, there's no money in prevention. There's only money in treatment. And number three, which is really too bad, I would like to make a bumper sticker about this, there is no, no matter how intelligent you are, it doesn't mean you have more common sense. If you had a choice between having a lot of intelligence or having a lot of common sense, the person with a lot of common sense will live a longer, happier, healthier life. And we don't have enough common sense. We've got plenty of intelligence, but we've got lots of ignorance, because ignorance doesn't say you're stupid. Ignorance simply says you don't know what you don't know, and very often that's because you didn't have a common sense adequate to look at things just because somebody told you, oh, that's wrong, and maybe you should look anyway. And therefore, we have lots of doctors, lots of dentists, all sorts of health practitioners, and they simply believe what they were taught, and they're not willing to look to see, maybe it was wrong. Maybe since they change botany books, biology books, physics books, chemistry books, every couple years, and they have to because they keep finding things they were teaching weren't correct, and so they have to change it to reflect the new things that we now think are correct, that nothing stays the same, and no doctor should ever believe what he was taught without being willing, or dentist, to question it. If lots of his patients or her patients says, well, what do you think about this? Don't just say what you were taught. If enough patients ask you a question, look into it a little. And don't look into your medical and dental journals, because they still have the reason to teach you the way they want you to know. Look everywhere and take a look at everything, and then make an informed decision. And stop thinking that intelligence is important. Common knowledge and common sense are far more important. And boy, are they lacking.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Well, of course, milk this, because that's an old line approach for liver, isn't it? And it's been used for many, many centuries. Milk thistle for strengthening the liver. It works.
Yes, it has.
And, of course, it's probably in many of the products that you would be taking as liver tonics preparatory to beginning to detoxify.
Also, alpha-lipoic acid helps to support the liver. But alpha-lipoic acid and milk thistle, we get taught in the conferences by the experts that both of those seem to be better at preventing damage than at helping the current things in the kidney and liver to get out. So I like people to take them for protection, but when I'm supporting the liver prior to detox, I use products that are more complex, that have a lot of things in them, like the Liver Balance, the Kidney Rescue, the Renalix, the HEPAT, and of course there are a bunch of other products out there. Those are just a couple I like in my office.
All right, fine. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And let's go to Jack calling from Michigan. Hi, Jack. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, first a comment. 22 years ago, a neighborhood friend introduced me to an herbal product. I guess I shouldn't mention the name, but I went on the program, and for 2 weeks, from a clinical laboratory perspective, there was some really hot toxic stuff that came out of me, let me tell you. And after that two-week detox, it was astonishing how much better I felt, how much more energy I had, how I slept better. And this was a combination of some Italian lady out in Utah put this together. And the question I got is whether he knows anything, Dr. Stan. I'm tired of buying water out of a vending machine. And a friend of mine is into this company called Nikon. And she claims it's a really great, some sort of aquaporin, whatever. And I was just wondering what he thought of that.
Well, let's get David's response to that.
Well, that's an easy one. I used to work in the water filtration industry for a while. I went to all the conferences. I looked at all the analyses. I have looked at the Nikon filter. I've compared it to a number of others. I'm not especially happy with that particular filter. Of all the filters that are out there, there are quite a number of good ones. There really are. One of my own personal favorites, which, of course, is not multi-level or network market. It's been around for 100 years. It's made by Dalton, D-O-U-L-T-O-N. It's the same company that makes Dalton China. They have filters with different pods in them. I tell people, buy the triple pod or three-container Dalton filter. If you have fluoride in your area, the first pod gets a fluoride removal filter. The second pod gets a carbon block. And the third pod that it goes through before it comes up into your faucet gets the actual Dalton UltraCarb, which is a solid porcelain laboratory-grade filter that no bacteria or parasites can get through. That pretty much does a very, very good job, lasts a long time, and it just happens to be one of my personal favorites. But there are other good ones out there, but I don't especially like them, Nikon.
Okay, anything else, Jack?
No, thank you so much. I really appreciate this stellar information.
Okay, fine. Thanks so much. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And it's really so important people understand our health, because you're really not going to be able to depend upon anybody else. We carry an excellent book, we think, by Dr. Blaylock, called Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, which covers a lot of these things. Do you know that book at all, David?
I do know the book, and I know Russell. I've heard him speak at many conferences. I've spoken to him. He's a good man. He puts out a lot of good information. Like everybody on the planet, we got a couple disagreements. You know, he thinks that portobello mushrooms are going to make people sick because of the glutamate in it. I've got lots of people that are allergic to MSG that have no problem with portobello mushrooms. But overall, Russell Blaylock is a very good man with a lot of good information out there.
Well, of course, I mean, it's certainly sometimes, of course, you've got to be feeding people the portobello mushrooms. And why are you giving them the mushrooms? What specific treatment are you using them for?
Actually, I don't use the mushroom. That's really a food-based mushroom that people might simply use in their food preparation that he says stay away from because the glutamate. The mushrooms that I tell people to use are those which are good for your immune system. So that would be maitake, coriolis, shiitake, cordyceps, chaga, and those people can either buy or use as supplements to bring their immune system up. But all of the people that believe, which is another interesting one, that, oh my goodness, if somebody has, for example, a fungal infection or candida, they shouldn't eat any mushrooms at all, that's a total myth. Because if the mushrooms you're eating are the ones which are used for the last 10,000 years in either Ayurvedic medicine or Chinese medicine to improve immune function, then they're not going to do anything to hurt your candida. They're going to help your body to kill the candida. So the mushrooms that we shouldn't eat if somebody has a fungal problem are the standard ones you buy in the store. But if you buy the special ones, which are immune-enhancing mushrooms, not the button mushrooms...
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment here. All right, fine. Go right ahead.
So, yeah, all the immune-enhancing mushrooms, those are great for you, but the regular button mushrooms, they will cause problems for some people. So those are the only ones I say that if you've got a fungal problem, stay away from. All the others are great. I use a lot of mushroom preparations, of special mushrooms, in my practice.
All right, fine. Of course, the biggest thing I think we can do is to learn how to stimulate our immune system. Do you see many people with chronic fatigue syndrome? And when you do chronic fatigue, certainly with chronic diarrhea, what can you do for people like that?
Well, chronic fatigue is actually one of my favorites because I can usually see fairly rapid changes. And I require a 7-day diet log. I have to see exactly what somebody ate for 7 days. You know, it doesn't have to be the exact 7 just before they came in. And I take a look, and most of those people are eating huge amounts of starches and sugars, and that's keeping their blood sugar level so low that even somebody without fatigue would get fatigued. So first we have to level out their blood sugar with adequate amounts of proteins, adequate amounts of good fats. Then we have to support the kidney and liver so that the fatigue may be partially coming from the fact that their body can't get rid of any toxins without an overload, so we make those organs work correctly. Then we bring in all the various different nutrients, and most often within 2 months, the chronic fatigue patient feels much, much better. My big issue is I have to yell at them, and I don't like yelling at patients, that you are required to put 50% of the new energy that you develop as we work together in your energy bank and not use it. Because they've been fatigued for so many years that the second they start feeling good, instead of allowing that to rise up slowly over a period of 6 months and start to get really, really well, they run around and clean their house and send themselves back to where they were because they use up everything that we just developed. They have to only use half of that as we keep going forward until we really get rid of the chronic fatigue.
Well, now, somebody just had called in and asked, what do you do when you have an autoimmune disease, when your immune system is actually attacking your own organs? How do you counter that?
Well, that's a phenomenally important question, and it ties right into what we're talking about, because every expert that I have heard at any of my medical nutrition conferences in the last 10 years that works with autoimmune diseases is convinced, based on what they see happen in their own practices, and so am I, that autoimmune diseases are caused by toxins, that your buildup of toxins gets so big that the body doesn't know self from non-self and starts attacking itself. And when we get enough of those toxins out, heavy metals and all the other things, doing pretty much all the things we've been talking about for the last hour, we get enough of those toxins out, the autoimmune disease slowly starts going away. Will it happen with every single person? Nothing happens with everybody. But I see many people with autoimmune diseases, and most often, when we get enough of the toxic load out, the autoimmune disease, what they were told they would never get rid of, isn't there anymore. And, of course, you know what their doctor says. Oh, we must have misdiagnosed you because you can't get rid of that disease.
Hold that right there. Well, I guess this evening has been David Getoff. David's fascinating. I really want to get you back on our programs on other subjects. I really appreciate you being with us this evening. And, again, of course, you can get David's DVDs at ppnf.org. In fact, I'm going to contact them, get some of those DVDs, watch them myself here. So God bless you. Thanks so much for being with us.
You're very, very welcome. Be happy to come back.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. That was David Getoff. Hope you enjoyed the program. Certainly we recommend David, pardon me, Russell Blaylock's book, we carry it. It's sort of like the Bible in our home. Well, not comparable to the Holy Scriptures at all, but I send the Bible as far as medicine is concerned. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life. And certainly we probably sell more of those than almost any other book, other than perhaps Ed Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And especially when we have Russell on, we need to get him on again. As you know, he's going to be our speaker here for our October conference. If you have not yet signed up for the October conference, please do. That's October 26th, and Russell Blaylock will be here, Joanna Michelson, Patrick Wood. It's going to be a great program all day long. We're serving lunch. We have to know how many people are coming. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If we carry Russell's book, Health and Nutrition Secrets That Can Save Your Life, Natural Strategies for Cancer Patients, Excitotoxins, The Taste That Kills, we have a 4-tape set, Life-Saving Secrets. We probably need to get a lot of others available. We have a DVD that Russell produced called Nutrition and Behavior. We think it's very important, Nutrition and Behavior. So give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get these items we've talked about. And then, of course, we do have the book of the Miracle of Magnesium, and we actually carry a lot of the health products through our ministry. Why? Well, because my wife and I take them, and we swear by them, and we want to, of course, make them available. And, of course, the people who produce them, we can't tell you the name of the company, but I will tell you it's a Christian company that's probably the largest preparer of health food products and supplement health products in the country. And, of course, they're under the RL label. That's the Radio Liberty label. If you look at the label, you'll be able to tell who actually produced them. Anyway, of course, I'd like more information, like one of our health catalogs or any of our other catalogs for that matter. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you would like a printed catalog, you'll have to ask for it. Otherwise, we're going to send you the catalog on CD-ROM, but it certainly is very well done and very convenient. And so do give us a call if you'd like to get a catalog. The health catalog is different than the regular catalog. It's different than the emergency food catalog, which, of course, we hope that many of you down the line will want to get as well. And, of course, if you have not begun making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead, give serious consideration to laying in a supply of food, laying in a supply of health products, because they're going to be almost impossible to get. And the one thing you are going to need is to do everything you can to maintain your immune system. So, again, our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. 8927. And then, of course, we do hope many of you out there give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And as I mentioned on the last hour, we have the opportunity now to be on a major station in Spokane during drive time every afternoon. They're giving us an awfully good offer, but we do want to be sure we have the funds to actually go along and to keep that up. If we're going to have a weekend program heard on all the entire American Christian Network up there. So if you can help us, why give us a call? And of course, and specify it's for a new station we're going to be putting in up there. We're going to be getting time on in the city of Spokane. But of course, drive time, great opportunity to reach people who've never heard our ministry before. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask you to simply pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the souls of men.